Let's bring in Jeff Passan, my guy, the lead baseball columnist for Yahoo Sports, wrote The Arm. And Passan, you're really an impressive guy. Not many people can write a book and then have on the back of it a quote from John Smoltz, Hall of Famer. This is the most important baseball book in years, not just for major league pitchers like me who had Tommy John surgery, but for every parent who wants a child with a healthy arm. This is an epidemic that can be fixed, and the arm is a great first step. Are you able to fit your head through your standard doorway there? Because if John Smoltz was saying stuff like that about me, I don't think I could, you know, I wouldn't be myself. I'd be somebody else, and that I probably wouldn't be very likable at all. That's a big-time compliment for you, Jeff Passan.
Well, the highest praise I've gotten all year, Carm, is probably from you saying nice things about me. So I appreciate the sentiment very much, but as long as you still like me, that's all that matters.
Yeah, and, you know, all kidding aside, though, you this was a labor of love for you. I mean, you're a baseball guy through and through, and you're a curious guy, I also would say, through and through. Like, you just like to find out reasons and go further than most people will go. Can you just talk about how the genesis of this book came to be, where you're like, you know what, I'm going to delve into this? And I think it was over, you wrote this well over a year. I mean, it was an immense amount of research that you did.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a 3.5-year process. It took a long time just following the two pitchers back from Tommy John surgery and trying to wrap my head around the whole thing, because look, the arm is a very complicated living creature, and it is very difficult to study, and you know even the people who have devoted their careers to doing so still don't feel like they understand even a little bit of what's going on. So from that respect, I think I'm still confused by it, and still fascinated by it, and the subject, to me, it's ceaselessly wonderful. But at the same time, there are definitely things that we can be doing these days that are just obvious for us to do these days to help pare back the number of injuries that are out there right now. And it starts with youth baseball, and I think that I just wrote something on Yahoo Sports yesterday about the very subject. Why kids are still going out and throwing 150-plus pitches in games when we know what we know is absolutely freaking ludicrous.
Well, and Jeff, we had a local high school manager allow a pitcher, I believe this was last season, throw 167 pitches in a game, and his reasoning when asked by the local newspaper, he just said, he told me that he could keep going.
Exactly.
Now the IHSA here is meeting later in the summer to talk about what sort of pitch count limits should be put in place. I think it's Alabama who has a very strict policy. They will fine high schools if pitchers go too long, throw too many pitches. They also will force the team to forfeit a game. So
yep,
we're seeing some changes, fortunately, being made at that level. But in your mind, how do we expand that sort of overseeing of the pitch counts? And what do you think should be the proper guideline for some of these younger pitchers?
Honestly, I think that by shaming, like, I hate to say it, I don't want to be the guy who's sitting here and shaming everyone all the time, but that seems to be what works in this situation, that if you get publicly called out for being an ass, then you're probably less likely to do it going forward.
Right.
And, I feel like part of my role at this point in this whole thing is to be a watchdog and to be an advocate, to be somebody who stands up for kids and that allow, enables parents to say that, yeah, I'm going to be educated on this subject. And if I say something toward a coach that he might not like, I'm going to feel okay about that because I know what's right for my kid. And that's, there are two schools of thought here as far as who's to blame. Is it the parents or is it the coaches? And I think the answer in a lot of cases is it's both, because ultimately, the coaches are the ones making the decision on who's throwing however many pitches he is throwing, but the parents are the ones with the power to stop it. And if the parents do stop it, that has, I think, a huge impact and effect on how long this thing continues to go on and us stopping it and changing things.
Jeff Passan, Yahoo Sports, their lead baseball columnist with us here on 720 WGN. The book is The Arm. Go out and get yourself one. What's your biggest advice, I guess, to parents right now, Jeff? If some guys, you know, whatever, mom or dad called you up and say, hey, my kid wants to be a baseball player. He throws pretty hard. I think he's got some talent. How do I make sure he doesn't end up with, you know, in Tommy John surgery? What would you say?
The first thing I'd say is I can't and no one can, because there are some factors in place that, you know, I don't know what the kid looks like mechanically. I don't know how biomechanically efficient he is. And I really don't know his genetics. I mean, that plays a big part in this. And genetics is like the great unknown at this point. We don't know what percentage it matters, but some people have different ligaments and tendons and muscles than others. And some people are going to have greater tensile strength. And, I mean, there are a million different factors that are going on here that can change that. But as far as usage goes, it's very simple. Don't have your kid pitch year-round. Have your kid play other sports. Limit them to about one competitive time pitching per week. And depending on the age, keep the pitch count down. And the kid's going to develop just as well if he is as talented as the parents think he is. And he's likelier to end up healthier because the usage was as limited as it was.
And Jeff, as crazy as this might sound, I've actually heard people throwing this idea out. Don't show pitchers the radar gun. Don't show them the velocity because they tend to throw harder, overthrow.
That is not a crazy idea at all. In fact, there will be a column coming on later this summer at a very interesting time of year, I think, that a lot of people are going to look at and say, Jeff Passan, you are an un-American person. Because I've been accused of that already because I've been saying, you know, why teach the curveball? And here's the thing. The curveball, from all the studies that have been done on curveballs, researchers believe, and there have been multiple studies now, researchers believe that fastballs actually have more impact on the arm in stress and strain than curveballs do. But, why do we throw curveballs? We throw curveballs because at that age, when you're 10, 11, 12 years old, kids swing and miss at them, and you're getting outs. And my point to not throwing a curveball isn't that it's necessarily going to hurt the kid more or less. It's why are we stressing competitive baseball at 8, 9, and 10, 11, and 12, at these ages where, frankly, development should be paramount. And, again, I know people think, oh, you're against competition. What's wrong with you? No, I'm not against competition. I'm against competition that ultimately is going to lead to harmful and potentially injurious thing for children. You can get competition, plenty of very good competition, in sports or in other aspects of life that don't involve your arm being sore when you're 35 years old and you're having trouble opening a door.
Well, and it's amazing, too, like how many coaches of 8, 9, 10-year-olds think they're actually managing the Chicago Cubs.
Right.
And you're managing Little League, which, by the way, is cool, and it's a great give back. And I think it's awesome that you want to be involved and be, you know, heavily involved. But the lack of the big picture that we see from parents and coaches alike, it is frightening. There's a word. Here, Passan, let me ask you about the John Lester part, because here were the Cubs going $155 million for John Lester. I know you were very involved in their research. And, you know, a lot of Cub fans didn't know that the guy's got a bone chip in his elbow, which seems like something you would not want, but yet the Cubs gave him the biggest contract they'd ever given to a pitcher. Give us what you got in the Lester deal.
I mean, I was surprised that the MRI showed that. And when it did, I think there was some concern in Lester's camp, frankly. But ultimately, a bone chip, worst case scenario, is it goes somewhere it's not supposed to and does damage. But that's generally pretty rare. I mean, most likely, you get it taken out at the end of the season, you're back for spring training. But again, when you got things floating around in there, it tends not to be good. John Lester's got an arm with a fair bit of mileage on it at this point, though. So the idea that the MRI was going to come back sparkling clean, it just wasn't a reality. No MRI is clean at this point. And Felix Hernandez has a partially torn ulnar collateral ligament, and the Mariners gave him $180 million. You know, there are certainly scenarios in which that happens, and it shows you that for an elite pitcher, teams are willing to delude themselves into thinking that everything's going to be all right. And it is until it isn't.
Hey, well said.
Hey, Jeff, stepping away from the book for a minute. Locally here, obviously the Cubs continue to roll. Not a whole lot of holes on that roster. The White Sox today acquired Padres right-handed starter James Shields. Your thoughts on both teams in town, and do you think the White Sox are realistically a contender?
I think the best thing the White Sox have going for them is their division. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think Kansas City, with all of its injuries, is as strong as it was last year. And I don't think Detroit, frankly, is all that significant of a threat. And Cleveland, for all the things that it's got going for it, still has holes as well. So I can see the American League Central being the type of division that takes 86, 88 wins, and you're into the playoffs. That being said, I mean, I don't know that the White Sox gave up all that much to get James.
No, they didn't. I think they won this deal, in my opinion. I think they're only having to pay half of what's due. They gave up Eric Johnson and Fernando Tatis, a very young prospect.
Yeah, you got a couple factors. Number one, how will James Shields' stuff play at the cell?
Right.
If you go and look for the last couple of years, James Shields gave up 1.5 homers per nine last year, and I think it's probably like 1.2 or 1.3 this year. And he pitches at Petco Park, Dodger Stadium, and AT&T Park for 100 out of the 162 games that's being played. Like, that is a staggering number of home runs to give up when you're pitching in these cavernous ballparks. And now he's going to, one of the most homer-friendly places in all of baseball. Mm-hmm. So I wonder how James Shields' stuff will play in that park. Let's say hypothetically, though, that it plays well and that he's doing really well. There's a chance that he opts out after this season.
Right.
He's got $44 million left, considering the free agent class coming up this year. Can make a pretty good argument that James Shields, even at his age, even with deficiencies, would, if not be the best free agent starter out there, but certainly one of the best free agent starters out there. And if he doesn't opt out, that probably means he wasn't very good. So the White Sox, the White Sox are they're not taking a significant risk here, but if they get a really good pitcher, he's a rental. And if they don't, they're stuck with a bad contract. Even if they're paying only half of it, it's still dead money. And we know what dead money looks like because it was named John Banks for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, we're up against the break. I love you. I miss you. The book is The Arm. 10-word answer or less, please. Are the Cubs going to win the World Series? Just say yes, and we'll say goodbye if you're comfortable with that.
I picked them to. I'm sticking with it.
That's my
there
man.
You go.
Passing, congratulations on the book, man. You're awesome.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff Passan, the lead baseball columnist for Yahoo Sports. The book, once again, The Arm. Quick timeout, 720 WGN.